Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, Packers fans? Happy Tuesday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I am your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Always appreciate you guys being here. If you don't mind, make sure to like, subscribe, comment, and give those five-star reviews. We always appreciate that a ton. Today, we've got an interesting topic. I want to go over Gutes draft history. Specifically, I think it's always fun to do this following the season. We gain a little bit more clarity on some players who played well, who didn't play well, players that are no longer on the team. So we're going to run through the draft classes in 2018, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, and 24. Goody's had numerous draft classes now to see where those draft classes stand now that we've got another season under our belts, which ones are trending up, which ones are trending down, which ones look good, don't look good. We'll go through all of that today. Before we get there, of course, the big piece of news coming out of the NFL in its entirety, but certainly in the NFC North as well, is Ben Johnson, Lions offensive coordinator, is going to become the head coach of the Chicago Bears. Coming along with Ben Johnson, at least rumored to be, are Darren Rizzi and Dennis Allen. If you're unfamiliar, Dennis Allen was the Saints head coach. He's a former defensive coordinator and has obviously experience as a head coach, is an experienced defensive coordinator, has given Matt LaFleur some problems in the past with his defenses, and is a really good pairing with Ben Johnson, because what you're specifically looking for when you have a first-time head coach is somebody who has some head coaching experience, because when you are a first-time head coach, there are going to be some trials and tribulations and some first-time scenarios that you haven't had to deal with before. And having somebody in the organization like a Dennis Allen is going to be beneficial to him to help him work through some of those hiccups and first-time scenarios that he hasn't dealt with that Dennis Allen probably has. And then on top of that is Darren Rizzi, one of the absolute best special teams coordinators in the league. The special teams coordinator, by the way, that Matt LaFleur wanted when he was first going to hire his first special teams coordinator, but Green Bay and the front office and the organization said no, it was too much money to spend, so they went with Sean Menenga instead. And then finally, a couple special teams coordinators later decided, all right, let's go pay Rich Bisaccia. They just would have hired Darren Rizzi from day one. May not have been an issue, right? But I digress. Darren Rizzi also now has that interim head coaching experience, is one of, again, the best special teams coordinators in the league, has got numerous head coaching interviews, at least this year, at least a couple of them, maybe numerous is a little bit strong, but this is another very smart hire if it does in fact end up being the case. And this trio of a great offensive mind in Ben Johnson, smart defensive mind in Dennis Allen, who has the head coaching experience, and one of the best special teams coordinators in Darren Rizzi, who also has that coaching experience, does seem to be on paper a really, really good trio, which is not what you want to hear if you're a Green Bay Packer fan, or certainly if you are an NFC North fan, whether it's the Vikings, the Lions or the Packers. And it's something that you do want to hear if you're the Chicago Bears or a Chicago Bears fan. But we can talk about it from a Packers standpoint, of course, because we are Packers fans. Here's what I will say about this. This is a good hire. I don't think there's much debate about that, at least on paper, right? You never know until he gets in the building. You never know until he is able to actually go out there and coach the team. He could be an A, he could be an F, he could be anything in between, and it's going to take time for us to evaluate that. But on the surface, this trio of Ben Johnson, Darren Rizzi, and Dennis Allen looks extremely competent, and it looks like it's going to be a difficult trio to deal with. That being said, I would not lose sleep over it. Chicago has brought in numerous head coaches, numerous general managers, offensive coordinators, defensive coordinators, quarterbacks, playmakers. They've built their team on offense. They've built their team on defense. They've tried to build their team on special teams. They have gone with rookie quarterbacks. They've traded for Jay Cutler type quarterbacks. They've gone with veteran quarterbacks. They've gone with Early draft picks. They've gone with head coaches from the CFL. They've gone with offensive-minded coaches, defensive-minded coaches. They've gone with new and analytical GMs. They've gone with old-school GMs. They have done just about everything, and yet the cycle just continues, and it's consistent and constant mediocrity and or worse. This, to me, on the surface, is just the freshest coat of paint. It's very shiny. It's very exciting if you're a Bears fan. No question about it. This, again, is about the best possible outcome that you could have hoped for if you were a Bears fan going into this offseason. Not debating that. But to me, it still looks like a fresh coat of paint. I talked about this a little bit previously. I talked about it on Bleacher Report yesterday. Green Bay is where they are at organizationally. And you can debate where that is, if they're the 10th best team, 8th best team, wherever that is. But they're consistently in the playoff conversation and consistently a good football team because of the foundation that Bob Harlan and Ron Wolf and Mike Holmgren put in place in the early 90s, early to mid 90s. Organization was a nightmare, arguably, in the 70s, the 80s, and the very, very early 90s. Was headed in all the wrong directions, doing all the wrong things, all the wrong ways, and had no idea how to function as a proper franchise. And Ron Wolf and Bob Harlan and Mike Holmgren took all of that and said, we need to bring this thing to the ashes and build it back up and make this a team that is going to be worthy of Green Bay, Wisconsin, and build it in a certain way that's the right way to do it. And that is really carried over. I know there's been a couple blips in the radar here or there, but that's basically carried over to Ted Thompson and Mike McCarthy. That's basically carried over, and Mark Murphy. That's basically carried over into the Mark Murphy and Matt LaFleur and Brian Gutekunst era. And now obviously the Ed Policy era. These things have carried over, and that foundation that was set in the early 90s, over three decades ago at this point, is still there today and functioning in a way that really puts this franchise and organization on solid footing. Now, how you get from that to a Super Bowl team or a team that's performing at the best of its levels and the top levels, those are evolutions that need to take place in the organization. And there are certainly going to be times where you hit on players more than other times, and all those sort of things play a factor into it. I'm not saying it's a perfect 1A formula. I'm not saying that Green Bay has the secret sauce that everyone else wants and they're winning all these championships. That's not the case. But the reason they're not a bad organization, a bad team, a constantly, 3-14 team, or a team that's constantly picking in the top 10, is because of the foundation that is in place organizationally. The Chicago Bears have a rotten foundation as an organization. And that's why it doesn't matter if you get the new flashy offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, the sexiest head coach, the first round pick quarterback, the newest, greatest general manager. Whether you build your team on offense or defense or special teams, it doesn't matter what that coat of paint looks like, because the foundation is crumbling, it's cracking, it's moldy, it's gross, and it needs a complete overhaul. If Ben Johnson comes in and somehow with Ryan Poles and company and, the entire organization all on the same page, if they have the ability to tear down the foundation, and I'm not talking about the players here, by the way, I'm talking about the organization and its overall functionality, how they go about even just stuff like the Ryan Poles press conference at the end of the season and like all the bizarro stuff that was happening around that, where it just doesn't look like a functioning franchise. Like all of those creaks and cracks within that, again, foundation, for lack of a better term, that show themselves and rear their ugly head and make it so that that team cannot compete. My guess, my belief is that those are probably still there. And until somebody within the Bears organization decides that, hey, it's not just throwing this money at this new offensive guru, or it's not just bringing in this first round pick quarterback, it's like we actually have to fix the core problems within the organization in order to be successful. Until that happens, again, it's just a new fresh coat of paint. I will say one more time, that's not to say that it's the wrong hire or that it's not going to help this team. It will. I think Ben Johnson, Darren Rizzi, Dennis Allen will very much help that franchise, and they're going to make it a tougher team to compete against. I really, truly believe that. And maybe this is the trio with Ryan Poles and company that can actually tear down the foundation and build it back up and get this team to be an actual functioning NFL franchise again. But for me right now, I will believe it when I see it. I think Chicago did a really nice job getting these three, again, assuming that they all come through, with that none of them have been officially announced as of yet. Although, again, we know that Ben Johnson's going to go there. They've done a nice job luring those three into the building, getting the guys that they wanted. Again, if you're a Bears fan, I think it would be hard pressed to get a better outcome than that. It's a really impressive group of hires. No two ways around it. It's going to be a pain for Green Bay, Detroit, Minnesota, that now this group is in the division. By the way, a division of Ben Johnson, Matt LaFleur, Dan Campbell, and Kevin O'Connell. Whew. It's a heck of a coaching division, potentially, depending on what Ben Johnson can do, right? So this is a really good step, I think, overall for the Bears. But I'm still of the mind that their water is poisoned. And I don't think that you can put together a successful team there right now. Maybe Ben Johnson will prove me wrong. He's a good person to try to do it, certainly. I still think that organizationally, there's too many issues there. There's too many flaws. And until they address that, cool. Go sign as many guys and draft as many guys and bring in as many new coordinators, et cetera, that you want to bring in. And for me, I'm not going to lose sleep over it yet. Also, the other thing I will add here too, and that I kind of posted on Twitter, is that when Chicago goes out and gets an offensive line that's akin to Detroit, I'll be a little bit maybe more nervous about that as well. We'll see. Good hires for Chicago. Tip of my cap to the organization for getting, I think, that right. But they're going to have to address some bigger issues within that organization if they actually want to be a successful team. Well, that was a really fun weekend of football. And while I'm definitely bummed out that the season is coming to an end, we've got two more epic games this weekend and still plenty of time to do some winning on Prize Picks. And the best way to get in on the action on Conference Championship Sunday is with Prize Picks, where you can win up to 1,000 times your money. And it's no wonder that Prize Picks is the best place to get real money action while watching the playoffs. Prize Picks offers a variety of weekly promotions that can lead to big payouts. And don't forget that there are plenty of other sports available to play as well. And it's never a bad time to get in on all the basketball action. And I think I'm going to be keeping an eye out for some Giannis options this week. This Sunday, however, I'm going to go with Jaden Daniels and Saquon Barkley to put on an epic show in Philly while Josh Allen finally puts his team over the top and gets Buffalo into Super Bowl Sunday. If you're ready to start winning, then download the app today and use code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. That's $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup by using code PACKADAY. What are you waiting for? Prize Picks, run your game. All right, speaking of what hopefully is a successful organization in the Green Bay Packers, let's take a look back at Brian Gutekunst's draft history and kind of take a look at some of these draft classes now that, again, we have a 2024 season under our belts. So let's start in 2018 with Gut's first draft class. Jaire Alexander, Josh Jackson, Oren Burks, Jamon Moore, Cole Madison, J.K. Scott, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, Equanimeous St. Brown, James Looney, Hunter Bradley, and Kendall Donerson. Now, Josh Jackson, Jamon Moore, Cole Madison, James Looney, Hunter Bradley, and Kendall Donerson are all out of the league. The only player that is left on the Green Bay Packers from this 2018 draft class is Jaire Alexander. We'll see how much longer that lasts. More on him in just a moment. The player that made the biggest impact on the Packers this season on this list was probably Oren Burks when he forced that fumble by Keyshawn Nixon in the wild card game. That probably had a bigger impact on Green Bay in a negative standpoint, certainly, but the bigger impact on Green Bay this season than anything that anyone else from this draft class probably did. So that was big. He played 251 snaps for the Eagles this year, had a 77.8 PFF grade. J.K. Scott is the punter for the Chargers. MVS had 477 snaps with Buffalo and New Orleans this year with a 61.7 PFF grade. And Equanimeous St. Brown played 35 snaps with the Saints this year. But from a Packers standpoint, you have just Jaire Alexander, 361 snaps on defense, missed a ton of time again, had a 75.2 PFF grade, a plus 0.75 grade for me, was solid, good. He was a good player when he was in there, just wasn't in there a ton. So your only impact really on the Packers was Jaire Alexander and those 361 snaps. That's your only ROI on the 2024 Green Bay Packers. 2018 is long ago enough now that that's going to happen. This is going to be very similar for a lot of teams. And if Jaire Alexander were healthy, we're probably having a different conversation. You probably feel really good about having a really, really good corner out of that class. And they certainly could have hung on to Oren Burks as a special teams guy, or J.K. Scott as a punter, MVS as a rotational wide receiver, etc. But they ultimately only had 361 snaps out of Jaire Alexander. That's the only impact that the 2024 Green Bay Packers got out of that 2018 class. Let's move to 2019. Rashawn Gary, Darnell Savage, Elton Jenkins, Jay Sternberger, Kingsley Keke, Kadar Hallman, Dexter Williams, and Ty Summers. Started off by saying once again, Jay Sternberger, Kingsley Keke, and Dexter Williams out of the league. They're no longer playing. You have three players who are on other teams. Darnell Savage for Jacksonville. He played 764 snaps this year, a 46.2 PFF grade. He did not have a good season in Jacksonville. There were some thoughts of, would he play slot in Jacksonville? They started with that. It didn't work. They moved him to safety. It didn't work. That basically has been a bust of a signing for Jacksonville, at least through one season. Kadar Hallman played 116 snaps with the Texans. Nothing to write home about. Ty Summers played 113 snaps of defense with the Giants, 64.2 grade. Again, nothing to write home about. But only two players that are on this 2024 Packers team. Rashawn Gary played 670 snaps, a 73.0 PFF grade, had a plus 2.1 grade from me. And then Elton Jenkins with 1,073 snaps, 65.5 PFF grade, plus 3.30 grade from me. 2019, all right, 5 years ago-ish, and you get Rashawn Gary and Elton Jenkins still out of that, with Darnell Savage, Kadar Hallman, and Ty Summers still floating around the league. Not terrible, not an awful draft class. Like Jay Sternberger, definitely a bust in the third round. Kingsley Keke, Dexter Williams never amounted to anything. But I think the big thing here is you were certainly hoping for a little bit more from Rashawn Gary. There had been times pre-ACL where it looked like it was trending in that direction. Then even coming right back from the ACL, those first 7-8 games back, he was looking pretty good, but then's hit really a wall ever since. Still a solid ROI on him this year, like a good solid grade. And then Elton Jenkins is a really good guard. And we saw just how much his absence affected this team when he went out in that playoff game. So this is still a pretty decent overall impact from Rashawn Gary and Elton Jenkins. Could have been more. You had a first round pick in Darnell Savage that didn't work out. And again, your third round pick in Jay Sternberger was a total bust, but some solid return on investment from this class in 2024 with Rashawn Gary and Elton Jenkins. 2020 draft class: Jordan Love, AJ Dillon, Josiah DeGuara, Kamal Martin, John Runyon Jr., Jake Hansen, Simon Stepaniak, Vernon Scott, and Jonathan Garvin. This is a one-man draft class. Thankfully, that one man is the franchise quarterback for your Green Bay Packers, but Kamal Martin, Simon Stepaniak, Vernon Scott, and Jonathan Garvin all out of the league at the moment. You have AJ Dillon, who is out for the season with the injury. He likely will not be back with Green Bay in 2025, but we'll see if that changes. Josiah DeGuara played 86 snaps for the Jacksonville Jaguars with a 49.4 PFF grade. Did not work out there for him. John Runyon Jr. played 842 snaps with the Giants with a 56.1 PFF grade. And Jake Hansen played 103 snaps with the Jets with a 69.9 PFF grade. But this is all about Jordan Love. And ultimately, at the end of the day, you got a franchise quarterback out of it. That's a pretty good return, right? Like, that's worth it usually in and of itself. If you get the really good Jordan Love, kind of as we saw at the end of 2023 and flashes in 2024, I mean, man, that pick pays for itself over and over and over and over again. If you get sort of middle tier Jordan Love or worse, it doesn't have maybe quite the connotation that it could if, again, he goes on to be a really good quarterback in this league. But that's still a little bit out for debate. Still, again, a more than worthwhile pick there at the in the first round and moving up a little bit in 2020. But that's all they got. AJ Dillon, again, out. DeGuara's with the Jaguars. Kamal Martin's out of the league. JRJ with the Giants. Jake Hansen with the Jets. Stepaniak, Scott, and Garvin are all out of the league. So this was a one-man crew. So from 18, 19, and 20, you've got Jaire Alexander, Rashawn Gary, Elton Jenkins, and Jordan Love. Four players, three draft classes during that time. Again, it's far enough back where that's not terrible. And it's like, in a theoretical world, you have a really good corner, a really good edge rusher, a really good left guard, and a really good quarterback. It's just, unfortunately, Jaire's injuries cloud it. Rashawn Gary's ACL, he just has not really recovered from that in the same way. It just hasn't been the same player since, and just is not a top-tier edge rusher. Jenkins is good, but not elite at guard, and then Jordan is still in that flux, no man, or like not no man's land, but we're not exactly sure what the ultimate Jordan Love is still going to be. By the way, if Jordan Love turns out really, really good, that will be worth it in and of itself from those three drafts combined, but would probably like a little bit more from those three draft classes at this point in time. We'll see if Alexander's gone this year, that's one less. You will likely go into 2025 with just Rashawn Gary, Elgton Jenkins, and Jordan Love from those three draft classes. Then you get to 2021, a pretty nightmarish draft class. Eric Stokes played 588 snaps this year, 61.3 PFF grade, negative 3.75 grade for me. He was my lowest graded player on the team. He is likely gone, maybe back on a one-year deal, and you know, maybe having to earn his job in training camp or something like that. But it seems like there's probably a good chance that both sides move on. Josh Myers, 1,067 snaps. You got a starting player, but 54.2 PFF grade, negative 2.7 grade for me, my lowest graded player on offense. So my lowest graded player on defense in Stokes, my lowest graded player on offense in Josh Myers. Amari Rodgers is out of the league. Royce Newman, their fourth round pick, is with Tampa. He played a total of three snaps for them this year. TJ Slayton, he could be gone after this year. 457 snaps, 43.0 PFF grade. I was slightly higher on him with a plus 0.4 grade. Shamarjon Charles played 143 snaps with the Saints. Cole Van Landen played 252 snaps with Jacksonville. And Isaiah McDuffie played 728 snaps with Green Bay. 55.4 PFF grade, plus 1.0 grade for me. And then Kylin Hill is out of the league. There is a real world in which the entirety of the 2021 draft class is not back with Green Bay next year. Eric Stokes, free agent. Josh Myers, unrestricted free agent. Amari Rodgers out of the league. Royce Newman's already in Tampa. TJ Slayton, unrestricted free agent. SJC is gone. Cole Van Landen's gone. Kylin Hill's out of the league. And then you have Isaiah McDuffie, who's an unrestricted free agent. If they don't bring back Stokes, Myers, Slayton, or McDuffie, they will have zero to show for that draft class in 2025. Even if one or two of them are back, it's not like you're feeling great about that draft class in any way. So that was a really, really tough one. And again, you know, you can point to the Creed Humphrey conversation that's been discussed ad nauseum. Just getting Creed Humphrey from that class, if they just take Humphrey over Josh Myers, the whole rest of the class feels pretty darn good. Like, it feels a whole lot better at that point in time. But just getting that one wrong, unfortunately, makes it so much worse. But they didn't have anything else to kind of make up for it in the meantime. Let's go to 2022. Quay Walker, Devontae Wyatt, Christian Watson, Sean Ryan, Romeo Doubs, Zach Tom, Kingsley Enagbare, Tariq Carpenter, Jonathan Ford, Rashid Walker, and Samore Toure. This is a sort of foundation building draft where you're getting a lot of young guys that are good players, right? That can help help you build things up. You get Zach Tom, who's a really great player, but maybe not getting some of the top tier, especially at the beginning of this with two first round picks and an early second round pick. I think they went at like three in the top 40 with Walker, Wyatt, and Watson. But Tariq Carpenter, the only one that's out of the league. Jonathan Ford is a Chicago Bear. Samore Toure is on the practice squad with the Bears, but everyone else still with Green Bay. Quay Walker played 804 snaps, had a 57.4 PFF grade, negative 2.2 grade for me, one of my lowest graded defenders on the team. So not great, but he did show some signs of improvement this year. Devontae Wyatt only played 366 snaps, had a 66.4 PFF grade, a plus 1.50 grade for me. He looks solid, you know, good-ish when he's out there, but he's not been able to stay out there a ton and has just never shown that sign of really breaking out in any real significant way. Christian Watson plays 500-ish snaps just about every single year, 69.1 PFF grade, plus 3.4 grade for me. When he's out there, he's been good, just hasn't been able to stay out there. Sean Ryan, one of the real surprises of this season, 1,027 snaps at right guard primarily, 61.3 PFF grade, plus 2.75 grade for me. Romeo Doubs played 695 snaps with a 69.7 PFF grade and a plus 3.55 grade for me. Zach Tom, we talked about, 1,134 snaps, 85.8 PFF grade, plus 5.25 grade for me, one of the best players on the team. Kingsley Enagbare, I thought, had a rough season, 538 snaps, 56.8 PFF grade, negative 1.85 grade for me. Tariq Carpenter, again, out of the NFL. He's in the UFL, I believe, at the moment. Jonathan Ford is a Bear. Samore Toure is a Bear. And then Rashid Walker in the seventh round, 1,139 snaps, 68.6 PFF grade, negative 1.6 grade for me. But you're getting a starting linebacker in Quay Walker, rotational slash starting defensive tackle in Devontae Wyatt, when he's healthy, a starting wide receiver in Christian Watson, starting guard in Sean Ryan, starting receiver in Romeo Doubs, starting tackle in Zach Tom, rotational edge rusher Kingsley Enagbare, and starting left tackle in Rashid Walker. Like, that is a pretty good haul from a draft class. Even if you didn't maybe get the top tier players at the top, Zach Tom certainly makes up for that a little bit. You've got three starting offensive linemen from this class in Sean Ryan, Rashid Walker, and Zach Tom. I think you feel very good overall, and you're certainly getting impact. You're certainly getting some depth, and you're certainly getting a return on your investment overall, I think, from that 2022 draft class. After all the holiday hustle and bustle and spending on about 100 things that you didn't expect to spend money on, the start of the new year can feel like a hangover for your credit. And with the holidays over, it's time to start setting those credit goals for 2025, and it's time to start using Kickoff. Now, my experience personally with Kickoff has been incredible. I found Kickoff online, and I immediately started seeing positive changes in my credit. It was so easy to get set up and get started, and I was immediately impressed by how seamless the entire process was. Now, Kickoff is a credit line that's just set up distinctly for credit building. It's super simple. You make one-time payments, credit bureaus see your good behavior, and your credit grows fast. And if your credit's under 600, you could jump like 28 points in your first month. And the best part is that you can start building credit immediately for only $1 for your first month. And when you sign up, you'll quickly find out, like I did, why Kickoff is the number one credit building app with over 100,000 positive reviews on the App Store. So shake off your credit hangover and look forward to better credit with Kickoff. Get your first month for just $1 at getkickoff.com/packaday today. That's 80% off Kickoff. Without the C, get kickoff.com/packaday. Must sign up via getkickoff.com/packaday to activate the offer. Offer applies to new customers first month only. Subject to approval. Offer subject to change. Terms and conditions may apply. Point stat based on Equifax Vantage Score 3.0 changes for Kickoff users starting under 600 who made their first on-time payment between January 2021 and March 2024. Payment and credit activity outside Kickoff can have an impact on your credit. Individual results may vary. 2023. LVN, Luke Musgrave, Jaden Reed, Tucker Kraft, Colby Wooden, Sean Clifford, Dontavian Wicks, Carl Brooks, Anders Carlson, Carrington Valentine, Lou Nichols, Anthony Johnson Jr., and Grant Dubose. Four of their last five are no longer on this team. Anders Carlson kicked for the 49ers and Jets this year. Lou Nichols is out of the league at the moment. Anthony Johnson Jr. played 21 snaps for the Giants, and Grant Dubose played 50 snaps for the Dolphins. They are all gone, but outside of that, you still have to feel pretty good about what you're getting here. Kind of another depth slash foundation building draft. Not the super high-end talent, although guys like Tucker Kraft and Jaden Reed have certainly shown those flashes, and I think Tucker Kraft's going to be a stud. But not the high-end players, but certainly, again, a good group of players that's helping you win football games, but you're still maybe lacking a little bit of that star power. LVN, 458 snaps this year, 53.5 PFF grade, negative 0.4 grade from me. Luke Musgrave had a really tough time staying healthy, 160 snaps, 47.1 PFF grade, plus 0.65 grade for me. Jaden Reed, 719 snaps, 71.7 grade, plus 8.75. He had a lot of drops, but some really good stuff in the middle there, or like in the midst of it, I should say, and is still a playmaker for this team. Just needs to clean up the drops a little bit. Tucker Kraft was awesome, 987 snaps, 67.8 grade from PFF. I liked him a little bit more with a plus 5.55 grade. Colby Wooden, rotational defensive tackle. We don't need to go through all the grades here, but Dontavian Wicks, solid. I had a plus 1.8 grade on him, 65.1 from PFF. Carl Brooks, rotational defensive tackle, and then Carrington Valentine at the moment, starting corner. So you're getting rotational edge rusher, number two tight end, you know, slot gadget wide receiver in Jaden Reed, starting tight end stud in Tucker Kraft, Colby Wooden, like number five defensive tackle, Sean Clifford, practice squad guy, Dontavian Wicks, you know, rotational wide receiver, number four wide receiver-ish, Carl Brooks, rotational defensive lineman, Carrington Valentine, starting-ish corner, and then some guys that are no longer with the team. Good return. I don't think great return, but you definitely feel pretty happy about Jaden Reed, Tucker Kraft, and still having some lottery tickets. Carrington Valentine, even as a starter this year, I think you feel pretty good about the return. Could have been better, yes, especially LVN, Luke Musgrave. You're not getting the ideal, you know, return from the first and second picks in that draft. But overall, I think you feel positive that you're getting some solid contributions from that class. And then 2024, Jordan Morgan, Edgerrin Cooper, Javon Bullard, Marshawn Lloyd, Tyron Hopper, Evan Williams, Jacob Monk, Katano Ladapo, Travis Glover, Michael Pratt, and Kalen King. Michael Pratt, the only one that's no longer with the team. He is in Tampa. Jordan Morgan, oft injured this season. Got on the field for 186 snaps, played okay. PFF had a slightly negative grade on him. I had a slightly negative grade on him. That's where he kind of ended up. Adrian Cooper, stud, 85.7 grade from PFF, plus 4.75 grade from me, and he only played 549 snaps. If he got out there more, that grade could have even been potentially exponentially higher. Love what we're seeing out of Adrian Cooper. They hit a home run with that pick. Javon Bullard, I was a little bit higher, plus 0.55 grade. PFF had him at 54.2, but he played 816 snaps and looks like he's going to be a player for this defense moving forward. Marshawn Lloyd could not get out there, but Matt LaFleur just talked about on the Matt Schneidman show how they had a big role or a significant role planned for him. Significant might be a little bit aggressive there, but they definitely had a role for him and it just didn't work out because of the injuries. Tyron Happer, very quiet first season, only played 18 snaps. We'll see if he can get a little bit more involved in 2025. Evan Williams looked really good, 72.5 PFF grade, plus 1.8 grade from me. Jacob Monk was a redshirt season. He didn't play a single snap. Ketan Oladapo got out there at the end, 68 snaps with a 72.9 PFF grade. Travis Glover struggled mightily in relief of Elgton Jenkins in that playoff game. Like I said, Michael Pratt is gone. Kalen King was a redshirt practice squad guy. Overall, some good. You know, Jaire Alexander, Rashawn Gary, Elgton Jenkins, Jordan Love from those first few classes. More recently, Zach Tom, Jaden Reed, Tucker Kraft, Edgerrin Cooper, Evan Williams. You've built a foundation. I still think you need more all pros. We'll probably talk about that in another episode on another day. You need more playmakers, but they found good, solid football players with some misses in there, which every draft class is going to have. 2021 was an abysmal draft class. It does seem like he's cooking a little bit better as of late and finding some real quality all throughout all rounds in 2022, 23, 24. Really, the core of this team is built through those three drafts, but it is, I think, a little bit more time to find some of those more all-pro players. I don't know if it needs to be better development from a coaching standpoint or just drafting more ready-to-go draft picks. I'm not sure which one it is, but they've got to figure out a way to get those big-time impact performers. I don't care if it's in year one or three. I really don't, but they got to find them. And guys like LVN and Eric Stokes and some, Quay Walker, Christian Watson, Devontae Wyatt, they just haven't taken that step like I think we would have hoped that they would, but even by this point. And that's been a little bit of a disappointment if we're being honest about it. I would say good, not great from Goody. Certainly, again, a foundation that's in place here that you feel confident about, but still work to be done at the highest of levels to make sure that you're getting those premium players. The two best players on this team were Xavier McKinney and Josh Jacobs, two free agent signings, not draft picks that they grew within the organization with that draft and develop philosophy. So still some work to be done to kind of improve along the margins and make it so that you are getting those impact players in the draft. That is going to do it for me today. Thank you so much for joining me. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members, Most Hated Minnesotan, PJ Wayne, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Jennifer Wright, Boom Handel, Donna Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Alex Wong, Arnaldo Espinoza, Peter Rataka, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gesford, Step Keat, Love and Football, Dylan Patscott, Bobby Santoro, SoCal Pack, Allison Tuckwab, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, and Ian Ewing. I will see you guys tomorrow, but until next time. And as always, go Pack, go.